This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 6th of August 2021. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 5th of August 2021, which this week has been edited by Liz and Gordon Legg. Your readers today are Claire Porter.
Hello.
And Richard Martin.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. And just to say, this is the first edition of the Winchester Talking Newspaper to be recorded in our news studio in Winnell. The main headlines this week are COVID care home death toll revealed, confirmed Hyde Street reopening, and waste service suspended as staff hit by pingdemic. So we'll start off with the story behind the first headline. COVID care home death toll revealed. The tragic coronavirus death toll across Winchester care homes has been revealed. The Care Quality Commission, the CQC, has released statistics showing the number of deaths in individual care homes after residents tested positive for COVID-19 from the 10th of April 2020 through to the 31st of March this year. In total, the watchdog received notifications for deaths with COVID-19 for 89 residents in care homes in the Winchester area. There has now been a call for an inquiry into the lessons learned from the pandemic. Councillor Jackie Porter, County Council Councillor for the Itchen Valley, said there should be an investigation because it would show lessons learned from any serious illness that came into our community of care homes, not just a pandemic. Also, care homes are becoming larger, mainly because of the economics of running them. It would be useful to compare outcomes from smaller and larger homes. Larger homes have more facilities, but it would be interesting to see if the quality of life was maintained at a higher standard in the smaller homes with consistent staff and less isolation. Quality of life for residents and their relatives was severely impacted, and this should be part of the investigation. I believe that this should inform the design of future care homes and other older persons' homes such as extra care. Brendan Care Otterbourne Hill registered 13 deaths between the published period, one of the highest in the Winchester district. West Home Care Home, which is managed by Hampshire County Council, also recorded 13. Otterbourne Hill General Manager Carol Mayer said, "We continue to follow government guidelines to minimise the risk to residents and staff. This includes rigorous cleaning and infection control, the use of personal protective equipment, social distancing where possible, and maintaining safe visiting practices." Elsewhere, Berwick Court Care Home reported 10 deaths to the CQC. A spokesman for HC1, which runs the home, said the past 17 months have been an exceptionally difficult time for everyone connected to and working at Berwick Court Care Home. Throughout the pandemic, we have worked tirelessly to protect our residents and colleagues. Provider Amesbury Abbey, which has two homes in the area, Sutton Manor and Winton Care Home in Stockbridge, recorded 2 and 10 deaths respectively. Naomi Cornelius Reed from the group said, "Through this extremely challenging period, we have always been in the closest contact with our residents and their families and have always acted in our residents' best interests according to the government's practice guidance at the time." Westacre Nursing Home and Sunrise of Winchester both recorded 9 deaths. Spokesman for Sunrise of Winchester said, "Our team at Winchester worked tirelessly to protect residents during the pandemic. We have been in close contact with relatives throughout the pandemic, and our thoughts remain with those who have lost their loved ones." The CQC has reported that St Cross Grange registered 5 deaths, and a spokesman for the home said, "We recognise that the past year has been extremely challenging for the families of loved ones living in care homes, as well as for those working in the care sector." Colton Care, which runs Abbott Barton and St Catherine's View, registered 4 and 3 deaths respectively. Chief Executive Mark Aitchison said, "From the very start of the pandemic, we have followed robust policies on infection control, PPE, social distancing, admissions procedures and visiting. We continue to do everything in our power to ensure our residents are safe, our staff are protected and families have accurate and timely information." Bishop's Waltham House, which is managed by Hampshire County Council, reported 4 deaths, and elsewhere Old Alsford Cottage and Flowerdown Care Home both registered 2. Old Alsford Cottage manager Michael Larmore added, "We would like to thank residents and family members for all their support and understanding, particularly over the past 18 months, and we continue to communicate with them. We would also like to thank staff for all their hard work and commitment through the pandemic." Also reporting 2 deaths was Moorside, which is to close later this year. Run by St John's Winchester, Chief Executive Clive Cook said, "Like others, we fought COVID through a mix of rigorous infection control, generous resources and supporting residents to deal with the fact that often in the pandemic, visits from loved ones were curtailed or made in challenging conditions." Teckfield House reported 1 death. All the care homes mentioned in this article were contacted for a comment, but not all responded.
Confirmed, Hyde Street reopening. Hyde Street in Winchester will be reopened after a controversial year-long closure. The County Council decided to reopen the road after an experiment sparked by the COVID crisis. Hyde Street was shut last year to allow for easier social distancing on North Walls, one of the city's main arteries. The decision means also that temporary barriers that narrowed the 2-lane highway to 1 lane will be removed from North Walls. The Chronicle has asked the County Council when the road will be reopened, but has had no reply. Senior County Councillor Russell Oppenheimer, in his decision day last Thursday, agreed to reverse the closure. He heard deputations from both pro- and anti-closure local residents. Councillor Oppenheimer, speaking about a number of active travel schemes in Winchester, said, "It is right we lower the temperature and take out the more controversial schemes and come back with proposals that are thought through and proportionate and respect the local environment and the needs of residents, businesses and the environment." The closure was popular with people living on Hyde Street as it made their neighbourhood much quieter, but largely unpopular with people living on roads made busier, such as Worthy Lane, and drivers stuck in the increased traffic in the city centre. Lindler Mackey of Worthy Lane told the Decision Day meeting that the closure has worsened congestion, pollution and speeding outside her house. Steve Marper, a Monk's Road resident for 30 years, agreed that the road should be reopened and also suggested a new road across the Worthy Lane car park to ease congestion. But Professor Nigel Wood of Hyde Street pressed for the closure to remain. "The current measure is imaginative and progressive. By ending the measures, nothing will be gained and a great opportunity would be lost." Chris Holloway, called on the county to take the lead in taking the climate crisis seriously. A petition in the last 10 days calling for permanent closure had attracted 762 people's support, she said. Alex Cox of St Swithin Street and Sarah Davies of Winchester Business Improvement District spoke in favour of the closure of the square as boosting local hospitality businesses, and that was agreed. The report to Councillor Oppenheimer said the closure of Hyde Street and the narrowing of North Walls would still be considered as part of a longer-term package of improvements. But it admitted that arrangement has been unable to cope with current traffic volumes. A new idea is traffic lights on Worthy Lane with Andover Road and keeping Hyde Street open one way only. Meanwhile, the decision day approved other less controversial measures, including pedestrian improvements on Drury Street, contraflow cycling on St Peter Street and Parchment Street, and a signal crossing of Romsey Road at Clifton Terrace. John Arthur of Cycle Winchester was disappointed that measures in Upper High Street had been dropped because of local opposition. It knocked a hole in a coordinated cycle network, he told the meeting. Earlier this year, the County Council consulted on the High Street North Walls changes and 970 people responded, with 53% saying it would encourage them to use active travel, walking or cycling on North Walls, whilst 42% said it would not. Closing Hyde Street split the city with 46% both for and against. A petition with 1,618 called Reopen Hyde Street to All Vehicles was presented to the County Council in March. Groups such as Winchester Action on Climate Change campaigned for the closure to be retained. A contraflow cycle lane on Upper High Street was unpopular with residents as it would impede parking and deliveries. It has been dropped by the council.
Waste service suspended as staff hit by pingdemic. Winchester Civic Chiefs have suspended green waste collections partly because of the pandemic and people having to self-isolate. The City Council says it does not have enough staff to run the garden waste collections and has stopped the service starting from July the 30th through to Monday, August the 9th. The black bin collection service is unaffected. But householders will not lose out as the service will run for longer before the new financial year starts and new payments have to be made. In a statement, the council said, following talks with our waste operator, Biffa, we can confirm that our garden waste collection service has been suspended from Friday the 30th of July until Monday the 9th of August. In common with many other local authorities, this suspension has become unavoidable due to a lack of staff arising from a significant number of waste collection staff self-isolating and a current national shortage of HGV drivers. Customers will not lose out financially. We will be reviewing the annual contract duration with a view to extending collection for a period in February to reflect the collections lost due to the impacts of COVID-19 and the HGV driver shortage. The statement advises people that the tips are still open. For those wishing to dispose of garden waste prior to the service recommencing, the HWRCs remain open for bookings or garden waste and can be retained until the service recommences. All our other waste collection services remain unaffected and will continue to be collected as per the timetable. We thank customers for their patience, apologise for this unavoidable suspension and look forward to resuming our full service in due course. Basingstoke and Dean Borough Council, took a similar decision last month for similar reasons.
That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Evans, David Evans, on the 9th of July, aged 85. Harris, Nora Harris, née Bond, at the Dower House residential home on the 23rd of July, aged 100. Mariner, Barbara Emma Mariner, at the Wessex Lodge Care Home Whitchurch on the 14th of July, aged 98. Page, Rosemary Joyce Page, née Bunny, on the 26th of July, aged 90. Skit, Jose Skit, formerly of Chandler's Ford, at the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital on the 20th of July, aged 90. Taylor, Walter Ferriby Taylor, known as Wally, at home on the 25th of July, aged 88. Trowbridge, Joan Patricia Trowbridge, née Brick, on the 12th of July, aged 92. Williams, John Bucknell Kingsley Williams, at home on the 25th of July, aged 93. And now we have Christian comment.
Today, this is written by Liz Tatham, and she has headed it, The Race to the Prize. Sport was never my strong subject. In fact, my family teased me for years for knocking over a 6-inch high jump pole. But I do love the Olympics. Every 4 or 5 years, I am glued to it, and as much as I enjoy the competitions and events, the human reactions and behaviour are just as fascinating for me. You just don't know how important a gold was to me, said one bronze medal winner. I am so grateful to be here, whatever, and thankful for this honour, another comes forth. Thank you to my mum and dad, the club, my family, my dog, and I did it to inspire my children and all the young people out there. The reactions are many and varied, but the human endeavour in the quest is the same. I would be amazed if I was given a place in the GB team for playing anything, because the effort and the training are huge. And to quote the Norwegian hurdler this morning, this is what I do, who I am. St. Paul, who probably knew all about the Greek and Roman games and competitions of his time, said, "Don't you realise that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." That's 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. He was referring, of course, to the faith and endurance to follow Jesus Christ, to be a disciple and listen to him, following and emulating his ways. This leads us to the prize, our heavenly home, but on the way to bringing the kingdom of heaven closer to earth. When we see the athletes who help each other on the way, who show grace and comradeship on coming second or even seventh, we see them showing brotherly and sisterly love to each other, which Jesus implores us to do in his love for us all. I was rewarded for some endurance of my own last week. 15 years of intellectual and academic achievement, which made me feel a bit better about not being a sportswoman. It was a long race, and I was glad and honoured to receive my prize. But it's just part of the journey. It drives me onwards to do more, to seek other prizes of a purposeful life as a disciple of Jesus, which helps and supports others. I have faith that I will be led home in the end. So, for the vast majority of us, who will never do more than sit in an Olympics grandstand one day, let us listen to St. Paul and join the race to the prize of the kingdom of heaven here on earth and in the next place. Our glory is for a glory that never passes, finishes St. Paul. That is our gold medal, so let us strive to win it. And that was written by Liz Tatham.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860836, that's 01962 860836, emailing letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. So we start with the first letter,
which comes this week from Richard Sackery, who is concerned about the future of River Park. Sir, reuse of the River Park Leisure Centre is of paramount importance, rather than the option to demolish it. This would result in increased carbon emissions caused by mechanical plant, vehicle movements and recycling emissions. There'd also be a need for demolition materials to go to landfill. The win-win option would be the reuse of the buildings. Possible suggestions? King Alfred Heritage Centre, incorporating a permanent home for King Alfred buses. Perhaps using the main sports hall with members assisting in its running. Perhaps the swimming pool could be used for the King Alfred Saxon Museum based on York's Jorvik Centre. A full-blown dig should be allowed to take place at Silver Hill, similar to the comprehensive dig that took place in the 1960s, looking for the two minsters alongside the cathedral. Any architects found at Silver Hill can only add to the Winchester Saxon story. Who knows? If any Roman artefacts were to be found, these could be included as part of the Winchester Roman story too. York's successes means that their small businesses are thriving, and this could be replicated in Winchester. Richard Sackery, Takedown Meads, Winchester. The next letter is entitled Need to Know and is from Kim Gottlieb. Sir, saying that Professor Martin Biddle made a U-turn with regard to the archaeology at Silver Hill is somewhat partial and distracts from the main point. Chronicle, July the 29th. He has, for example, been entirely consistent about the need to preserve the site's archaeology, and you would expect nothing less from an eminent archaeologist. Similarly, he has been unswerving in his expert belief that archaeology is likely to be important from a national, if not international, perspective. Potential is to find not just broken pottery, but structures and parts of buildings that could greatly expand our knowledge of Winchester's Roman history. Where things may have changed is in his view as to the best way to preserve what's there. Preserving in situ is the first port of call of archaeologists, because the less the ground is disturbed, the less likely archaeological deposits will be damaged. The problem in this case is that any extensive building work will disturb the ground and layers within which the Roman remains are likely to lie. It is this possibility, I presume, that Professor Biddle is concerned for given that the City Council is planning to sell the site to a developer and to delegate complete responsibility for the layout, scale and design of the development to the developer. In this context, the only way to ensure the preservation of the site's archaeology
is to first establish what is there and where it lies. Only excavation can do this. The route the council is presently taking is identical to that which it took with Thornfield Henderson. There is no evidence that the council has learnt any lessons from that experience, or any indication that the outcome is likely to be any different. So that letter was from Kim Gottlieb, East Stratton.
This letter from Linda Davies is headed Debenham's Idea. I have read the suggestions for the future use of the empty Debenham's building and do think that an indoor market is an excellent idea. It would be much better in the winter for the traders to be under cover and much warmer for the customers. Today I have read that Travel Lodge are wishing to increase their room capacity by redeveloping the first floor and above of the Debenham's building, which takes away any retail trade other than the market upon the ground floor. I have a suggestion. I have long been a customer of Marks and Spencer, but have given up trying to buy clothing which involves going up and down the stairs and the escalator, being as the clothing for ladies is both on the ground floor and the first floor, rather than being altogether on the one floor. Putting together an outfit can mean a lot of travelling up and down the stairs and escalators. Plus, it is muddled up with the fruit and vegetables, birthday cards, sweets, wine, and numerous other things. In the larger building, not only can the women's clothing be all together, but also the men's clothing, and a children's section could be increased to include boys and older children. In spaces of their own, and not all squashed in one small space. There are already toilets and a cafe in the Debenham's building, which could be adjusted to fit the customer numbers already using the present store. It would also mean that the upper floors could stock more household items and perhaps furniture and soft furnishings, making it an interesting store to shop in. It already has stairs and escalators both up and down, which would be a blessing for those of us who are now having difficulty getting up the stairs to the upper floors. The ground floor could continue to be a food area, as it is at present, perhaps with a wider selection of different types of food, including free form, of which there are very little. And that was written by Linda Davies, Groveland Road, Tegdown, Winchester.
Ian Tate is somewhat exercised about the poor quality of high street repairs. Over 10 years ago, when the City and County Councils agreed to resurface the High Street, I thought that considerable time was taken over ensuring that the new surface could be taken up for any necessary repairs to the services below the High Street and relaid such that you wouldn't notice any difference. Sadly, the reality has proved somewhat different, and I was disappointed to see that after repairs were made to the electrical cabling outside Tesco's, the quality of the resurfacing has been lamentable. Attention to detail is so important, but somewhat lacking at the moment. Ian Tate, St James Lane, Winchester.
The next letter is entitled Public Health Cuts and is from John Tippett Cooper, who is the City Councillor for St Bartholomew's Ward. Sir, Hampshire County Council recently concluded its consultation into balancing the budget for 2022 to 2024. The consultation made the stark admission that the absence of a multi-year funding settlement from the government means that we continue to face a budget shortfall of at least £80 million over the next 2 years. Inevitably, under this government, the options on the table mean that the most vulnerable are the ones that will be hit the hardest. The cuts suggested by Conservative-controlled County Council are brutal. They include cuts of £8.7 million to care services for young adults, £6.9 million in cuts for support for the elderly, and huge cuts in public health budgets of £4.4 million, including cutting 47 school nurse posts. There is also likely to be alarm about these cuts amongst charities supporting homeless people in our city and the potential devastating impact. Buried deep in the consultation document, it states that potential service changes includes stopping all local and county-wide grants directly funded by adult social care to voluntary community and partner organisations, and reducing some elements of funding for non-statutory services that support people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. In June, Steve Bryan MP visited the superb new Winchester, the new Trinity Winchester Homeless Accommodation Project, Bradbury View, joined by Robert Jenrick, Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government. Mr. Jenrick did not announce his visit to Winchester City Council, who have ultimately statutory responsibility for homelessness services in the area, but he praised Trinity for their great work and headed back off to London. Welcome and entirely proper praise for Trinity Winchester by Mr. Jenrick and Mr. Bryan, but visits, positive tweets and photo opportunities are meaningless if the government are otherwise causing homelessness support service budgets to be slashed and charities to pick up the pieces with overstretched budgets. I would urge Steve Bryan to use his platform to pressure the government to properly fund services for the most vulnerable and avoid the devastating cuts proposed by Hampshire County Council. So that letter was from Councillor John Tippett Cooper, Councillor for St Bartholomew's Ward, Winchester City Council, King Alfred Terrace, Hyde, Winchester.
This letter, which is about hidden road design, road signs, has come from Christine Gray. Mr. Lawrence Jones raises some excellent points in his letter regarding the school bus crash in Hedburn Worthy, the Chronicle Letters, July the 22nd. The main point for me is the obstruction of road signs through overgrown bushes and vegetation. Highways England have failed in their duty regarding this matter. 2 years ago, a young schoolboy was killed walking the main Titchfield Road, due, in my opinion, to the feeders of leaves that grow around the base of certain trees. It was very soon after the accident that these very overgrown trailers were cut away, and remain so to this day. Titchfield Road is a 40 miles an hour speed limit, which is rarely adhered to. Surely somewhere, somebody should be made accountable. Doesn't duty of care apply to roads? Christine Gray, Rogers Close, Gosport.
Car wash plans. I'm writing in reference to your article reporting the recently approved Bishop's Waltham petrol station change of use, Chronicle, July the 29th. As reported, I spoke in objection to the application on the grounds that the suggested conditions of approval were not strict enough, considering the site is within the protected Bishop's Waltham conservation area. I noted that the applicant had removed climber plants from the road and the road-facing view, and that all applications must conserve or enhance the conservation area, as in the Winchester Local Plan and the Bishop's Waltham Adopted Design Statement. I support the new business, however, suggested that local resident worries about exploitative work practices be addressed by the owner signing up to the Home Office-funded Responsible Car Wash Scheme, which looks to promote fair wages, protect employees and customers from exploitative practices, and educate owners to ensure harmful chemicals do not damage the environment. I and many other residents will be pleased that the owner mentioned in private to the meeting that he agreed that the site required improvements to its appearance and will be looking to focus on this. Overall, I'm pleased that the city councillors on the committee share similar concerns and work to ensure that an additional condition be added to improve the appearance of the road-facing view of the site. After all, the car wash sits adjacent to our beautifully refurbished North Pond and opposite the Bishop's Waltham Palace ruins, and so should enhance these historic attractions. Jonathan Williams, Tangier Lane, Bishop's Waltham.
John Robinson writes about access for all. Sir, my wife and I have been keen walkers for many years, in which time we can reasonably claim to have done most of the rural paths in Hampshire and adjacent parts of neighbouring counties. Indeed, we still walk together every Friday and our annual holiday in North Yorkshire. Unhappily, she, that his wife, now has to use a roller tour, such that while hills and to some extent vegetation are not a problem, the surface certainly is. We therefore, unlike Mr. Ryder in his letter, chronicled the 29th of July, who would seem to want to restrict walking only to the able, welcome works which improve our access to the countryside and allow us and other people with mobility issues to get out but not to be confined to urban routes. There must be sufficient tracks out there such that both Mr. Ryder can find the wild places he craves and we others can walk with reasonable facility. That letter was from John Robinson, Springvale Road, Kingsworthy.
This letter from David Carter is headed Planning Appeal. I read Mr. Palmer's letter with much sympathy, the Chronicle July 22. I think local people in this part of the South Downs National Park would have great understanding for such a point of view. There is no one that I know in this neighbourhood, apart from the owners, who wanted this commercial development, but nevertheless a majority of councillors voted for it. They will doubtless say that this is local democracy in action. On the other hand, we should remember the remote South Downs Authority is not a democratically elected body. The members are appointees and appear heavily balanced towards Sussex. 20 from that county, 1 from Surrey and 6 from Hampshire. Not very democratic as far as this locality is concerned. Indeed, one might say just another quango. Therefore, our salvation in these matters lies with the elected council members. I would question just how local the decision is when the prevailing majority on the planning committee is found from the leafy suburbs of Winchester and other suburban areas. Moreover, the ruling Liberal Democratic Council promised us a better, greener district if we elected them. Once again, it is an example of rhetoric, particularly at election time, vastly exceeding what these councillors are prepared to do when it comes to tight decisions. It is in everyone's town or countryside interest to maintain our green and pleasant land, not least in national parks. Those who live here, whilst not against progress, aspire to retain the character of the countryside and not drive in our narrow lanes in fear of meeting heavy and wide vehicles that are impossible to pass. Those present felt that more weight was given to an official from faraway Midhurst than to local citizens who represented 53 objections to this development, including providing photographic evidence that demonstrated the SDNPA case to be untrue. Permissions like this erode trust in local politicians and demonstrate there is a real danger of creeping commercialisation at the edges of the South Downs that could in time diminish the whole park area. We should remember these councillors when they next request our votes and seek to tie them down to exactly what they will stand for. David Carter, Ashton Lane, Bishop's Waltham.
Margaret Grant has some city memories for us. Well, here's something different from COVID, politics and planning for you. I'm writing to say a big thank you to the workers who restored my mum and dad's memorial seat in the Abbey grounds. This includes the gardeners for the beautiful, colourful flower beds. Many moons ago, there were keep off the grass signs, woe betide you if you put a foot wrong. The sand pit, which may have been a fish or lily pond in the children area, has also gone. Colebrook Street has many memories. Sooty Emmett, the sweep. The lady with the iris garden. The stable kept by Debenhams as an art studio. And St Mary's School, used by Danemark girls for needlework sessions, to name a few. Why not take a different route to the cathedral, by going down Abbey Passage and across Colebrook Street, and then through Water Close for a much prettier way visit and view it. My grandparents lived in Water Close, and when the city football season started, Gran and I walked to Airy Road to watch the local talent play. We stood on the halfway line with two of her friends vocally urging the city on. Before this, I'd been to Saturday Morning Pictures, after which a visit to Mr and Mrs Faggot P and Chip Shop in Cross Keys Passage to pick up my dad's dinner. Many a family came into town and sat in the back room, met by Mr Andrews wearing a large apron over a portly body, who served them with his culinary delights. Well, as many small shop and city memories I hope I have been stirred. Here's just one more. My husband always said there was a manager at the Odeon who had a cane, to poke anybody getting too amorous in the back row. Was that true? Or will anyone own up to knowing? Anyway, till we write again. Margaret Grant, Burrington Road, Hairstock, Winchester.
That concludes the letters. Next we will have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, which will be followed by a letter from Westminster and then a first-person item. So the Hampshire Chronicle editorial. The need for a full inquiry into deaths. It's a shocking number. At least 89 people with COVID-19 died in care homes in the Winchester area between April 2020 and March this year. A currently unknown number of these were discharged from hospitals last spring when wards were being cleared for the expected influx of patients. A better way of spreading the virus into one of the most vulnerable sections of society could not be devised. The figures need to be treated with caution. The numbers refer to people who died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID. There does need to be a proper investigation into this with the results to be published. This should not be done in the spirit of apportioning blame, but to get to the bottom of what happened, what went wrong, and to use a cliche, to try to ensure it never happens again. This country faced an unprecedented crisis last year, to which, by and large, its people met and dealt with. However, there is no room for complacency or to say the past is the past, let's move on. Only by a systematic examination of the actions of all the agencies involved can meaningful lessons be learnt.
This is the letter from Westminster, and it's from Flick Drummond, who's the Mearn Valley MP. The next big date in the COVID journey will be August the 16th, when the double jabbed and under 18s no longer need to self-isolate if they are identified as a close contact of someone with the virus. This should very much help the country continue to its recovery. The news about infections, hospitalisations and, thankfully, deaths are good. They remain at a fraction of the second wave numbers from earlier this year. But there can be no complacency, and I know ministers are watching the situation closely. We need to continue to get our jabs, especially young people, who are getting infected the most at the moment. Only 68% of people aged 18 to 29 have so far had a jab. This needs to improve. However, I am absolutely astounded at our vaccine rollout, and I thank everyone for all they have done. Nearly 85 million doses have been given across the UK, and more than 46 million people have had a first vaccine dose, or around 90% of the adult population. More than 70% of adults, or 37 million, have had both doses. The more we close the gap on the last unvaccinated 10%, the better we will be. Sooner or later, everyone will come into contact with the virus, and there is no doubt it is far better to be vaccinated. One issue that will come up in the coming weeks is COVID passports to allow entry into a range of venues. I undertook an online survey a few months ago, and the result was 50-50 in favour of them or against them. I have started the survey again, and you can contribute at this link, https://www.flickdrummond.com/news/flick-wants-hear-your-thoughts-introduction-vaccine-passport. There are clearly pros and cons about these passports. I have not yet made my mind up on them, and I await the government's proposals before I do. The parliamentary recess is now upon us, and I will be taking some time off, as will my hard-working staff. But I will also be out and about in my beautiful constituency too. Already I have visited world-leading businesses, a cider maker and a vineyard. We have an amazing range of companies in Mearn Valley, and I always enjoy learning about them on my visits. Although I am loath to look beyond the summer right now, the UK is hosting another major international conference when the 26th UN Climate Change Conference, COP26, takes place in Glasgow from October 31st to November 12th. The UK is a world leader in cutting carbon emissions and tackling climate change, but it is not just governments that will bring about change, but local communities across Hampshire. I look forward to working with groups like Winchester Action on Climate Change to promote local initiatives in the run-up to the conference. I also hope to work with local schools too into this exciting and incredibly important work we must all undertake if we are to avoid a lasting climate emergency. If any other groups in Mearn Valley are getting involved in COP26, then please drop me a line. It now falls to me to say I wish everyone a happy summer holiday. There is real confidence we may now be past the worst of the pandemic, but as ever, please keep safe. Flick Drummond.
And first person this week comes from Ron Allison, who says, doing our best. What to write about this week? There's certainly plenty going on in this troubled 21st century world. To start with, we have the Olympic Games, a four-yearly championship designed to engage the world's best athletes, and on this occasion, it seems to be achieving just that. A gold medal should be awarded to the Games themselves, for showing the rest of us how very good the best can be. We need no reminding how the world is split in so many various ways, but if only for 2 weeks we can stop to watch and appreciate the many talents on display, we surely all will benefit. In contrast, I was working for the BBC at the Games in Munich in 1972. The difference could not be more stark. Violence and horror came to those games through the hands of a Palestinian terrorist group. The world was shocked and appalled. There was a break, but controversially the games were resumed. Finally, after almost 50 years, the Israeli victims of that massacre were honoured with a moment of silence at the opening ceremony of this year's games. While watching the young Olympians, I find it staggering to see so many different faces, different looks, when basically we're all the same. A body, a head, two arms, two legs. That'll do without going into more detail, but you easily get my drift. I write here not only as a man, a husband, a father and a grandfather, but I'm putting my oar in as a great-grandfather too. I can still remember when, being young, I looked at my oldest relatives with awe. I would never be as old as them, but what do you know? That's exactly what I am. From this position that many Chronicle readers will be sharing, how can we best use our accumulated experiences? We have so much to offer each other in so many different ways. We can be just forward, good and kind. We can be helpful in particular situations where we may have some expertise. It could be that on occasions we are able to reveal to a friend an opinion or thought that might otherwise be kept from him or her. It could even be something that will make a difference to that friend. It could perhaps alter their whole life. If that seems a rather grand claim, just think back. And I'm sure you'll recall a time when you were a bundle of indecision and then, as if from out the blue, your best friend perhaps made a suggestion that came to make all the difference to you and yours. To some of these situations are matter of fact, but to others they are a matter of faith. In my case, it's the latter. Even as I write, my thoughts move me on ahead to express ideas of which I'm sure. This doesn't happen always, by any means. I can be a matter of indecision. But when I believe something to be true, then my thoughts and deeds will follow that route. I realise this may sound arrogant, but the older I get, the surer I become that when I know something is right, I must act in the light of that belief. What we believe is what we are.
There are no special announcements this week. Sunrise this morning was at 5:40 a.m. and sunset will be at 8:45 in the evening. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have any problems with the recording you have received from us, please telephone the contact number which is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We now move on to items of general news interest. COVID falls across most of district. Signs are emerging that the third COVID wave has peaked in the Winchester district and is now starting to fall. On Tuesday, declines were reported in 12 areas with rises in only two. All parts of Winchester City are seeing falls for the first time in 2 months. In the district as a whole, in the week to the 29th of July, there were 296 cases, down 143, or 33%, from a rolling figure per 100,000 of 237, which was similar to July. Across Hampshire, the decline has been steeper, with a drop of 37%. The falls this week were reported in 12 areas of Winchester. COVID cases only rose in two areas, but then, even then, only in single figures. That was Stanmore and Denmead and Southwick. Right.
Pupils team up with Trust to create edible playground. A Winchester school teamed up with Hampshire Gardens Trust to create an edible playground. Children at Oliver's Battery Primary and Nursery unveiled the project at a small outdoor function. They spoke with the Mayor, Councillor Vivian Atchwell, about the inspiration behind the playground, which is full of plants to provide healthy food. It is so important to encourage children to develop healthy eating habits, so understanding of their local environment and where their food comes from is crucial, said the Mayor. This project is a wonderful example of how children can learn and experience growing as a part of a rich and varied curriculum. Project leader and professional gardener and horticulturalist Ruth Farley set to work in February with the children and a group of volunteers. The garden is now full of produce, including a vibrant pollination bed for insects. HGT Chairman Ted Wake, who was at the garden opening, added, "It was a wonderful occasion and great to see the Mayor mingling with children, supporters, governors, PTA members and the Oliver's Battery school team. The Hampshire Gardens Trust is proud to be associated with the school and very much hope that the OBS Garden Plans for Schools project becomes a beacon of excellence to inspire other schools in the wider county. Head teacher Carly Redfern added, "It has been an incredible opportunity for our school community to work together with Hampshire Gardens Trust on developing the edible playground. All children, including our new nursery class, have had the opportunity to spend time planting seeds, watch them grow, and sample some of the produce. It has been a joy to watch all children get involved and learn so much about horticulture. It is so exciting to think how these skills will support children in their future careers. We can't wait to continue the project next year and begin to embed the edible playground into our classroom practice. Our year 5 to 6 team are already planting crops so that children can have a real experience of rationing when they tackle their World War I project in the autumn term."
How Winchester's High Street survived. The coronavirus pandemic has certainly had a significant effect on high streets up and down the country, with vacant units and to let signs appearing at a pace. But it appears that Winchester has bucked the trend. The latest shop vacancy monitor has revealed that the vacancy rate across the UK increased to 14% in the quarter to the end of March 2021, from 13.7% in the last 3 months of the previous year. But Winchester has fared much better. The vacancy rate is falling from 11.2% at the start of 2021 to 10% in April, with the prospect of further reductions this year and in 2022. Sadly, the High Street has lost Debenhams, Laura Ashley and Edinburgh Woolen Mill. However, other shops and hospitality venues have survived. But what has been done to help these shops stay open? Throughout the pandemic, the City Council has paid out £44.8 million of government grants to local businesses of various kinds and a further £1.4 million in discretionary grant funding, which has allowed shops to remain open. The authority has also said that it has distributed 3.6 million in additional restriction grants and allocated a further £1.3 million to support businesses severely impacted by COVID restrictions. As previously reported, High Street business Pet Pantry benefited from the council's additional restrictions grant. When many shops and businesses closed across the city centre, footfall fell dramatically and takings at the Pet Pantry were down by 75%. Speaking to the Chronicle, Lynn Connell, owner of the family-run business, said, "Prior to COVID, 30% of our takings were from people working in local offices, 50% were from visitors and tourists, and 20% from local residents. With no footfall to the city, our income dramatically reduced. The grant we received from the council has been crucial to our survival and has helped us to cover our rent during this difficult time." A city council spokesperson said, "Supporting our local businesses continues to be a priority and residents have gone above and beyond to shop local during the pandemic. And this has been supported by our Love Local Shop campaign to encourage residents to use their local high street businesses. Our accessible and open-air high streets also mean that they've been able to accommodate the social distancing requirements to enable business to trade. As a council, we've used all sorts of funds to make the high street COVID-19 secure for workers and shoppers with increased awareness around social distancing. Additional funding has helped business to get back to business, from online digital masterclasses to COVID ambassadors on the high street to provide support and advice as restrictions were lifted. The success is a testament to entrepreneurial spirit found on the high street and across the Winchester district." The City Council has launched a virtual high street and is urging firms to register for online shopping and ordering platform shopappy.com, which will provide further opportunities to promote their services and sell products to local customers from the comfort of their own home. The council and the Shopappy is offering free membership to all businesses and community organisations in the district for the first 12 months. The platform allows customers to browse virtual shop windows, book appointments and events, as well as order products from local stores using a delivery or click and collect service. As the country comes out of lockdown, the city has seen footfall increase, with customers keen to come back and use those businesses which have survived. Winchester has reported that in June, the city centre footfall was up 73% year on year and 4% since May. Online sales are still rising, so the proportion of digital revenues are much higher than before the pandemic. However, footfall in the city centre is increasing and the commercial property vacancy rate is beginning to fall. He added, "Winchester is a popular location and now that restrictions are easing, it's attracting investment and new businesses are opening. The city has a varied mix of businesses as well as a strong and resilient independent business community which contributes to the character and success of Winchester as a great place to live, work and visit."
Pub delivery times spark opposition. A Winchester pub wanted to build an outdoor bar and alter its conditions for deliveries. The bar proposal at the Roebuck Inn in Full Flood was not controversial, but the times of delivery sparked strong objections from the neighbours. They say the deliveries block access to their homes and create traffic hazard after the pub replaced its car park with outdoor seating. The condition had stated that deliveries should be between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m, but the pub wanted 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. Winchester City Council's Licensing Subcommittee approved the plan but urged the pub, owned by Green King, to talk to local residents to sort out the delivery issue. A report to the committee heard about the way deliveries had introduced danger onto Stockbridge Road. Christine Rennie and Wilf Harding wrote, "On a number of occasions we have had to walk into the main busy Road due to a delivery vehicle parked on the pavement outside the Roebuck. And Susan Thomas said, the deliveries now block the entrance to a private car park because the pub had removed its own parking spaces. I frequently find I am able to leave the car park when I want to. I feel the interests of business in Winchester are being put above the interests of residents. Councillor David McLean, a member of the licensing committee, said the extended delivery hours would be safer. If all deliveries were being crammed into this 2-hour period in the morning, it makes it more unsafe than if you are spreading it out through the day. The Stockbridge Road pub applied to the council to change the layout of the premises by adding an external bar and servery. The serving area would be used between 12 p.m. and 9 p.m. each day. Licensing Committee Chairman Derek Green later approved the application, saying the hours will reduce disruption.
Peer presses for action to combat pollution on rivers. A former Hampshire MP is at the forefront of battling to save the country's fragile chalk streams. Lord Chidgey, former Eastleigh MP and a Winchester City Councillor who lives in Alresford, has been campaigning to ensure greater protection for chalk streams, including the rivers Test, Itchen and Mearn. Common in South England, they are nearly unique to this country, with only France having a sizeable number. Debates in the House of Lords have been hearing about the threat to the rivers from pollution, development and over-abstraction of water for domestic use and farming. Lord Chidgey told the Chronicle that new environment laws are a chance to offer a lifeline to Hampshire rivers. He said new environment laws being debated in the House of Lords this month could provide much needed protection and environmental improvement for our endangered chalk streams and rivers and surrounding habitat. Lord Chidgey and like-minded peers have been pressing the government to accept a range of amendments to the new laws aimed at curbing the over-abstraction of river water for commercial use and discharging polluted water back, and banning the practice allowing foul sewage to flow into water sources where sewers overflow. Working with an alliance of environmental charities, including the Anglers Trust and the RSPB, Lord Chidgey is pressing the government to publish the report from the Environment Agency Chalk Stream Restoration. He said all parties are united in the need for a statutory designation of chalk streams status under law, protecting the stream channel, its floodplain, surrounding catchment and aquifer, leading to biodiversity recovery at the landscape level. Southern Water was recently fined a record £90 million for dumping raw sewage into watercourses that flow in the Solent. The Chronicle has reported the steep decline in flora and fauna on the upper parts of the River Itchen, which have been attributed to watercress farming through the use of fertiliser.
Pressures at hospital are stabilised. Pressures at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester have stabilised but have not gone away, as health bosses continue to appeal for residents to use the right service if they need medical attention. As previously reported, Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, which runs Basingstoke, Andover and Winchester hospitals, was put on black alert earlier this week after experiencing unprecedented levels of demand. The Trust warned non-urgent care could be disrupted after announcing its A&E departments in Winchester and Basingstoke were busier than ever. But now the Trust has released a statement saying that they are seeing a reduction in the pressures. The Trust says the levels of demands have stabilised. A spokesman person continued, "Our teams across the Trust have been working incredibly hard to care for everyone who comes through the front doors of our hospitals. The pressures in our hospitals have not gone away and remain at a very high level, so please remember to use the right service to get the care and advice you need. You can reach out to your local pharmacy, minor injuries unit, or contact your GP for urgent treatment or advice that is not life-threatening."
Woman dies after falling in river. A grandmother fell into the River Itchen and drowned yards from her home after consuming alcohol on the evening of her death, an inquest has heard. Rochianne Pierce, also known as Longina Bozon, was more than 2.5 times the legal limit for driving when she fell into the river outside her home, Fulling Mill, in Eastern Lane, Eastern, on August the 17th last year. The 72-year-old was swept 200 yards downstream before she was discovered in the early hours of the following morning. An inquest at Winchester Coroner's Court heard how Miss Pierce suffered back problems which affected her mobility. She was taking medication for the pain, the hearing heard. A post-mortem concluded that Miss Pierce drowned with alcohol toxicity contributing. The area coroner, Jason Pegg, concluded that her death was an accident, saying the combination of that alcohol and medication would certainly have impaired her to a certain extent in terms of her thinking and mobility. He added that she was intoxicated with alcohol and suffering from spinal problems, both of which affected her mobility.
Another consultation set for Ecogen plans. A decision on a controversial planning application, which could double the number of lorries through Kingsworthy, has been delayed. Ecogen Recycling Limited in Stoke Charity Road has lodged a bid with Hampshire County Council to increase the number of lorry movements it has allowed, resulting in 80 HGV movements through the village each day. The application was validated in March, and since then it has received a wealth of objections from residents, parish councils and councillors. No decision date has been given, but the County Council, as the planning authority, has said that a further consultation is expected to take place. Resident and objector Steve Waters has been in contact with Philip Miller, Principal Development Management Officer, and Laura McCulloch, Strategic Manager in the Planning Department. Mr. Waters said the Planning Authority is currently awaiting further information from the applicant in regard to issues identified through the consultation process. The authority will then go out to consultation on this information. This will include all those who have already made representation on the application. Concerns have been raised over the increased usage of Loveton Lane, along with environmental and safety factors. Along with all of our protest comments, objections and letters received, a very strong objection has been made by Sarah Hayes Arter from Environmental Health, Julie Pinnock from Winchester City Council, Planning Control, and of course Kingsworthy Parish Council, Mr. Waters added. All the comments I have seen reiterate our concerns and add great impact to our case for asking that this planning application is refused. An objection to the council has given light to why more information has been requested and another consultation is likely. The letter has requested that the authority should ask for up-to-date vehicle movement records for the period September 2020 to March this year. The objection has criticised the transport assessment prepared by Stuart Michael Associates. It stated that there is a key weakness of Ekogen's log for its HGV movement, as it does not show an hour-by-hour breakdown. The letter continued, SMA Limited are unable to provide any analysis as to what extent these movements are occurring during rush hour, the school run, or other times of high traffic flow, because the data simply has not been provided.
Puffin progress. Progress is being made on a planned puffin crossing on a main Winchester road. Local people successfully pressed the County Council for the crossing to help people heading across Andover Road to King's Barton and its new primary school. A feasibility study has now been completed and £260,000 has been set aside by the County Council for the work in the 21-22 year capital programme. The crossing is being funded by S106 money from developers. The news was given by County Councillor Rob Humby, Executive Lead Member for Economy, Transport and Environment, at his decision day last Thursday. Councillor Martin Todd, Lib Dem, told the County Council decision day, "I welcome the extra investment in the Andover Road puffin crossing. That's the kind of spending we need to be doing, making it easier for people to walk around the area safely and supporting public transport."
Bishop's gardener to retire after 29 years. The Bishop of Winchester's head gardener is hanging up his hoe for the final time this summer. Nick Kilroy is retiring after 29 years tending the historic private garden at Wolvesey Palace, home to the Bishops of Winchester since Saxon times. "I came here in 1992, he said. "Not many people get the opportunity to develop one garden over such a long time, although I possibly stayed a little bit longer than anticipated," he said with a smile. Its delights include long herbaceous borders, formal rose garden, arboretum, Victorian greenhouse, woodland walk and magnificent beech trees overhanging the lawn. There are also colourful shrub and perennial borders, decoratively planted containers and a recently added herb garden. There's been a garden of sorts since the Middle Ages when Henry de Blois began to build Wolvesey Castle, the old bishop's palace. Today, from the existing garden, there are spectacular views of the castle ruins, Winchester College Chapel and the cathedral. Built in 1684, Wolvesey Palace was designed by Thomas Fitch in the Baroque style. The house was built for Bishop Morley, who was with King Charles II in exile, and a lot of people think it looks quite French," said Nick. "The building is mostly used as offices for the Church of England's Winchester Diocese, so staff enjoy the garden too. In the 1920s, an extension was added, which is where the current bishop, Tim Dakin, and his wife, Sally, live." Nick has many memories, many happy memories of his time at Wolvesey, where he and Jenny brought up their two grown-up sons. The youngest, Tom, inherited his father's green fingers and now works as a gardener. "While I have been at Wolvesey, I've been a custodian of the garden. It has been a privilege and a pleasure. I always say no one owns a garden. It is a living thing that will be handed on."
Village homes built without permission. Developers who built without planning permission came under fire from city councillors over a scheme in a village near Winchester. Mr. A. Bennett put in retrospective application after not abiding by planning permission that had been given for three houses, a committee heard. The three two-storey houses, which replaced a 1960s bungalow, were higher than the permission at the Pines, Downs Road, South Wanston. The scheme attracted 9 objections from neighbours, including Grant Johnston, who said the houses were now overbearing. Ben Kelly, agent for the developer, told the committee he disagreed they were overbearing and said there were several other two-storey buildings in the area. Local City Councillor Stephen Godfrey, who lives in South Wanston, described the retrospective application as an abuse of the planning system. He said he had been lobbying for several years to change the rules over the legality of retrospective applications. He said the homes were 2 foot higher than what was given permission and 8 foot higher than the original buildings. Councillor Brian Loaming said he was very disturbed by this application and this house builder has acted in a cavalier fashion, building something that has not got consent and not taking into consideration the local neighbours. Councillor David McLean tried to get the application deferred because the councillors had not received information and a video from the objectors. It has been sent to the planning department but not passed on. But he did not get anyone to second him. Committee Chairman Jane Rutter pointed out that the fact it was a retrospective application was not a planning consideration for the committee. But, she added, it's frustrating we cannot take a retrospective application as a planning reason to refuse this. She said she agreed with Councillor Godfrey and said such developers should be hit with a £1,000 minimum fee. Catherine Watson, planning officer, said, told the committee that the developer proposed the scheme he was actually building, she would have recommended approval. Reluctantly, the committee approved the scheme by 3-2 with 2 abstentions.
And on a bright note, Street celebrates the end of lockdown rules. A Winchester Street has celebrated the end of lockdown with an outdoor party. On Saturday the 31st of July, despite recent weather conditions, the Goring Field Street Party took place as planned. Bunting was hung, balloons popped, and Duncan and Geraldine Eves, resident musicians, played live music, adding to the party atmosphere. About 50 people, both young and old, turned out to celebrate the end of lockdown and the lifting of restrictions. Linda Kay said, "We came together to enjoy a lunchtime snack and drink, providing a happy and relaxed atmosphere to catch up and socialise. It was an ideal opportunity for everyone to renew friendships and to welcome new residents, and some of because of lockdown we'd not really met. Enjoyed by all and now planning the next one," added Linda.
And finally, a contribution from Belgarum. Disappearance of cross. We all love trees, well, most of us, unless you want to chop them down for various reasons, but they do get in the way by their habit of growing. Until recently, the wayside cross on Shawford Down was visible from the road. Moving in its simplicity, it is a memorial for the hundreds of thousands of soldiers who marched along Otterbourne Road from bases in and around Winchester, such as Maughan Hill, to go to Southampton to embark for the Western Front between 1914 and 1918. Thousands of them never returned. Compton and Shawford Parish Council has provided a helpful sign, but the wooden cross is now almost invisible from the road. The cross is much more accessible from Shawford Down itself, but the whole point is for it to be seen by travellers on the same road as the soldiers. It is a shame that passers-by currently don't get the chance to be reminded of the sacrifice of the British Empire soldiers who marched past the spot, or just to wonder what the memorial is for. That concludes the extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors, who were Liz and Gordon Legg, and to our various technical teams. And thanks to our readers, who were Claire Porter.
Bye.
And Richard Martin.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope.